Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. I hope you enjoyed the interview with former state president Cedillo. And now I will talk about European Romania, because that's now, I found out in the discussion with our Bulgarian friend, Mr. Krashchev, Professor Krashchev Sanchev, that Romania has made a decision to delay the entry into the Eurozone for 2028 or maybe later. That has really disappointed me deeply. Imagine how deeply complicated Romania was during the socialist period now recently, and the many prime ministers, these corruption scandals, and everybody in Brussels and Europe was discussing, wait, it will be fine, there will be a center-right-wing government, there will be hope, there will be progress, there will be the European Romania again. And now it happened. The elections in December. Of course, you know, this very good president, Klaus Iohannis, and then also first this prime minister, he has the same name like Orban from Hungary, but it's a different personality. He was then temporary prime minister. Now there is a very good former minister of finance, Mr. Zito. I was so optimistic, and I think many in Europe were so optimistic that there will be this catch-up process, all this socialist corruption will be ended, and there will be this kind of reform drive. And obviously, what a NATO and EU member, like Romania is already since 2004 in NATO, 2007 in the EU, and it's so economically successful. Of course, what it needed now was the full integration into Eurozone and then the reform of the public administration. And now, unfortunately, it's not happening. Obviously, you know, people who don't want always find excuses. And the xenophobic racists who don't want solidarity in Europe, in Western Europe, obviously don't want Romania in the Eurozone. But also some in Romania seem not to want to be in the Eurozone right now. So they always find a lot of funny excuses like, the problem is the convergence, you know, and then they go into deeply complicated economic terms and say, we need more time. Everybody who doesn't want excuses himself over the timeline. That's quite normal. And so we have this situation. And it's very shameful and it's very tragic and I'm very disappointed. And I call on the Romanian and the European, the Europeans are also behind it, I'm sure. It's a complete shame. You have to change that. It is necessary and much better economically if now immediately in this summer, already in the next coming month, Romania does the same that Bulgaria and Croatia have done in the year 2020. In the summer, it was announced they join EMR2. Romania has much better economic data than Croatia, for example. And so it's absolutely justified in the EMR2 now, in the second quarter, 2021, and adopting and floating the euro exactly together with Croatia and Bulgaria. Otherwise, we don't need, you know, this political elite. Lagarde and Michel, they can retire. It's fine. They are beautiful people. Find some nice Côte d'Azur village for them. But don't bother to sit in this position if you don't believe in the European Union unification. If you are against the Eurozone membership, you are in the wrong position, Mrs. Lagarde or Mr. Michel or however your names. This is the duty. That's why we build Europe. That's the inheritance of Helmut Kohl. That's the idea of the European Union, driving it forward and onwards and deeper. And Romania absolutely in the Eurozone. I mean, to delay it for another mandate? That's reckless, irresponsible, and doesn't serve any purpose. What does get better? What does get worse? Yeah. It's much better there inside. It's the idea anyhow. And it has major geostrategic positive effects, obviously, on Moldova, on Ukraine, on our unity, on our convergence, and for the Romanian people, obviously, it's much better. The euro is the great tool of convergence. Look at Slovakia, at Lithuania, you know, Slovenia. It's already much richer countries in GDP per capita. And Romania has made such a good progress already with the flat tax of 16. Now they have reduced the income tax to 10%. The perfect 10 is income. Yes, it's already quite expressive. But, you know, still it's just at $13,000 per GDP is already a very good result. Imagine before this whole process of transformation came in the 2000s, basically the real drive came then in 96. Bulgaria has also a delayed reform, and then come this real reform drive with the 2000s, basically. Then in the 2000s, it was still at $2,000 per GDP. Romania is now at 13,000. I mean, from 2000 in 20 years to 13,000 is in 2 decades, yeah, it's 6 times better. I mean, that's enormous success of the flat tax and of European Union, NATO, and the tools of the liberalization. But results could be much better for the next phase if there's a currency pack, there is the Eurozone membership now, it's no longer needed a pack, just the EMR2. So get it done, this is the way to do it. I don't know what exactly went wrong in the thinking in Bucharest or in Frankfurt or in Brussels. Some racism, I'm sure, or some kind of confused things. Because Romania has 50% GDP capita, the debt. I mean the debt level. That is about Greece has 200, Italy has 160. Maybe it's the Romanians who don't want to be in our debt union. But okay, they will not have to share in, don't worry. We will also regulate the situation of Italy and Greece. Is it now so far, has the EU came so far that the poorer Eastern European tigers don't want to join us because we are so desperate? Then say it loud, Mrs. Lagarde. Sure, they say, tweet. Instead of climate change, you can say, oh, it's okay. I understand, I full understanding if the emerging tigers of Eastern Europe don't want to join our debt union because it's going down. Is that the truth? I don't think so, but I don't hope so, because united we are obviously much more prosperous and successful, and Romania in the Eurozone is such a logical thing. I call for reason, Bucharest, reconsider. Have you not any kind of feeling of honor that Bulgaria will be in 2024 paying with the euro and Romania is another 4 years or maybe more? Is there no kind of competitive feeling with Bulgaria? That's the country you should build many bridges with, and you have not done it because you don't like it so much. And now they overtake you. Bulgaria, by the way, has a 10% flat tax. Fine, perfect, yeah? Not 16 corporation tax, which is much too high, obviously. And I was just now in the preparation for this podcast, I read that I was really very happy about that Moldova has now 12% flat tax. Obviously, it's not the perfect 10, but 12% is quite good. And they have this competitive corporate tax level, which Romania unfortunately misses with 16%. And so I call for Romania to do that. Join the Eurozone together with Bulgaria and adopt the 10% flat tax. That is anyhow already flat income, 10%, and the corporation tax to be down. That is very good. But there are several other things which I think that Romania lacks a little bit of ambition when I look now deeper. Let's go to the so-called doing business evaluation. Because in the Western Balkans, due to many donor projects and international help, there was enormous focus on that. But inside the European Union, member states seemingly get a bit lazy because nobody really anyhow dares to criticize them because they're already inside and there is lack of ambition then inside to get things done. And when you look, because that's very important for small, medium enterprises, but it's also an indicator for the digitalization of the situation of the public administration. Look, for example, in construction permits. That's a complicated indicator. I talked a lot about it already in terms of Macedonia. But you see that there is Romania in the construction permit is 147 on the world level. So that's a developing country grade. For example, Macedonia is on place number 15 globally. I mean, we have 200 countries. When you are in this level, you know, you are lowest in the African level, yeah? And the lowest underdeveloped country are in that category in 147 in construction permits. And this Romania is a member of the European Union. I mean, it's outrageous. And it could be so easily fixed because with this BFC instrument, which the German government rolls out all over the Western Balkans, Albania, Serbia, Macedonia, that's basically the Macedonian cadastral system and the Macedonian digital permitting system, which is exported to Serbia, Bosnia, to Albania very successfully. And it is also easily applicable also to Romania. obviously the Romanian government will have to pay itself for it or ask the EU to co-fund it in a way. But it's totally possible that also the Romanian municipalities participate in the BFC process. And in 2 years, the situation is gone and the construction sector is cleaned up. The municipalities are less corrupt and it would be a wonderful process. BFC-SEE.org. Maybe the German government will also support it, yeah? But it's just a process which is already happening over there. The competence is there in Macedonia. Take it. Get it done. Same is also true and shameful position in getting electricity. Romania, and by the way also Moldova, have a position below 150. I mean, you have to give, this is really quite an astonishing number, that a European Union member has the ranking of 150 in getting electricity for its companies, business and consumers. I mean, this is all inside the European Energy Union, where all the treaties should be already fully liberalized and the market should be perfect like in Austria, normally in Romania. And 157. I mean, what is going on? Is there a lack in the EU delegation in Bucharest in a kind of support? Yeah? Is there no ambition? Were the socialists so bad? Yeah, I'm sure they were. But this can be easily fixed. There is this Vienna Secretariat of the Energy Community. There is DG Energy. I mean, we're talking about a climate union, and then people cannot get electricity in a reasonable time frame without corruption and bureaucracy in Romania. I mean, this is the EU. I cannot believe it. I've already talked about this enormous success of Romania economically. Yes, it's true. But administration-wise, it is really something which has to be, you know. And I know Romania is quite a digital superstar. There is a fast internet, there is a digital industry, there is a Silicon Valley. There are things. So how can it be that the digital Silicon Valley of Romania is not able to assist the process which Macedonia, Serbia, everybody can do much better in the digitalization of the local administration? It's already there. It's a tool. It can be applied. Zack, zack. Zack, zack, I shouldn't say because of the Austrian context. But, you know, you can do things very fast and you can do things very good. Romania, where's this ambitious European Romania we all dreamed about and it was reality in the beginning of the 2000s? Things were going on. There was a drive, a forward direction, a trajectory towards change and improvement. And I hoped it'd come back again now. But then I hear the Eurozone membership delayed for 2028 or maybe later because of some funny criteria which somebody in the DG ECFIN, who is seemingly very busy and is not able to rein in the spending in Italy and in Greece. But for Romania, we delay them another 4 years. Or who is really enacting this criteria? It's for me very disappointing and very bad. Let's come to the relation with Moldova. Because it's like yin and yang. Obviously, these two countries are very connected. And the history, they were united in various parts. And obviously, as you know, I'm totally against changing any borders and I don't call for any kind of state unity, but I call for economic unity of all European countries. So in the Euro, in the EU, in NATO. And it's to the eternal shame of Romania that this country, which is supposedly the second most important country in Eastern Europe, and it is, yeah, after Poland, Romania is the second one, that Romania has managed itself so badly that it is not any powerful position to support its Moldovan sister, and it's a sister, a friendly state, a brother sister, you can say, but she has a female president, Moldova, Mrs. Maidu, and obviously they want to join NATO and the EU. And here it's very logical that from an association status after DCFTA, the Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement, Moldova should be now upgraded to a EU potential candidate country, with IPA funding, Institute for Pre-Accession. That makes a big symbolic and a very concrete financial difference in infrastructure, in assistance to do things. And it's an important step. But Romania is so powerless in the European Union, without friends and without influence, because of this corruptive face, I guess, and all this negative perception of Romania, that even after 14 years, Romania is not able, 14 years in the European Union, yeah, since 2007. And despite its success, Romania is in Brussels so powerless, it has no kind of leverages to ask the Europeans to take in Moldova as a full member, a EU potential candidate country, obviously the starting point. Imagine Greece. Greece was a very poor country as well. Greece was really heavily fighting for Cyprus to be full member in the European Union and was successful with it. Cyprus is also partly occupied, has this issue with the Turkish north, and also Transnistria is very comparable, completely the same situation. Moldova has also this vow to in the constitution to be neutral, so that's a similar, not exactly the same situation like with Cyprus. But the difference is that Greece was fighting tooth and nail for Cyprus to be in the European Union enlargement 2004. And it was successful. And there was a lot of resistance. And there was, of course, Greek lobbying in every member state. They arm wrestled everybody to have their, in a way, enosis in the European context. Yeah, I'm very much against Anschluss. Never forget. This is a terrible thing. But I'm very much that these sisterly nations and brotherly nations of small, of bigger nations in the European Union as free countries. Obviously, that's the idea. And that's what also Germany did for Austria, Greece did for Cyprus, and Romania obviously should do it for Moldova. And is it? No, it's not. Because why? Because Romania seemingly is a meaningless entity in Brussels power play games. Yeah? And why? Because economically it's very successful. But politically, yes, we delay. Yeah, we delay again to 2028. Ah, you don't like us, don't worry. Ah, Schengen, oh, doesn't matter. You can treat us badly. We never make a veto. We never make any problems. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. And so it is. Romania to this day not in OECD, yeah, not in Schengen, and Eurozone again delayed. And the interests of historic and strategic dimension which Romania must have. That's obviously, you know, when you look at the strategy and the situation, it's obviously clear historic dimension, Moldova in NATO and in the EU. And obviously Ukraine as well now after 2014 on the way to the West, but blocked by Paris, yeah. And shouldn't it be Romania's most important strategic interest to have Moldova and Ukraine and obviously as well Georgia, but these two countries, these Black Sea neighbors, these direct neighbors, yeah, where there is so much historic ballast and there is so much common interest economically, geography and strategically, obviously, against Russia, that these two countries also join NATO and the EU? That must be the overriding problem. Every decision from any Romanian decision maker must be focused only on that. Everything must be leveraged. If you don't know what to do, go to Athens and ask them how they got Cyprus in the European Union. When even I remember, I thought, you know, on Cyprus, it's maybe too complicated for now. Let's postpone it. Like you now in Bucharest, say, let's postpone it with the Eurozone accession. And the whole history of Europe would be totally different if the Greeks would have given up on Cyprus. But no, they fought for the interest. And it's very good, and I welcome that. It's what countries should do to be serious with their friends and fight for them. And so I call for Romania to really insist on the EU potential candidate status for Moldova and for Ukraine, and hopefully Georgia can piggyback on that one. And then you have to block all further decision-making in the European Union in case this is not happening. You must be the powerful voice, maybe together with Poland, yes, with the Baltic countries. Now you're no longer alone. I'm sure the three Baltics and the Polish and the Slovaks, they are also very interested, and also the Bulgarians. This is a powerful force, but you spend your times on free seas adventures, on irrelevant kind of outside of the EU decision-making process to complain about Germany, while in reality you need to be inside the decision-making process. Powerful arm wrestling into decision-making. If you have an issue, ask the Greeks how that works and how that goes. They know exactly what to do. and I'm sure you know as well. But again, you prefer to delay things, postpone it, postpone the reforms, postpone OECD, postpone improving the difficult digital administration, postpone the Eurozone, postpone the reform of the... And then everything gets better, maybe in the 2028 or not. So let me conclude. I'm deeply disappointed with this new government, which I had so much hope they will drive forward the ambitious reform agenda for European Romania. I think that's a really sad chapter. The first thing they do is postpone the Eurozone, and they will not reform anything. And then one day, in 2 years, they will have lost and spent all the energy in the corona and the debt crisis. And then the socialists will come ever again and spoil the whole success of European Romania. And that's a deep, deep disappointment for me. And it would be so easy to get things done right. Just join the Eurozone immediately with Bulgaria when the opening is anyhow coming now with Croatia, Bulgaria, trailblazing this way, just piggyback into, and that's just fine. Cut the taxes to 10. Now Matthias Kormann from the OECD will welcome you very much and push hard for the Schengen liberalization and full membership of Schengen. And it could be so much better 2020s for Romania if there would be better leadership. But this constant kind of inferiority complex of the Romanian elite towards the European Union, this constant going under the carpet, not really imposing yourself and not putting your national interest into the Brussels arena, but always excusing and asking and being polite, you know, and saying, yeah, okay, we have no interest. Yes, okay. You know. This kind of things leads exactly to getting much less from the EU than Poland. This gets also to delaying all the important kind of, in reality, a secondary level of membership outside OECD, Schengen, Eurozone, and all the benefits attached to it, and also to this lack of reforms and ambitions in infrastructure, in the European strategic interests in terms of Moldova, and in terms of progress. And then you are, of course, because in one time, in the beginning of the 2000s, you got it all right with the flat tax and with the NATO, with American help, with the Kosovo War connected, and George Bush getting you into NATO and in the European Union. And then you learned from Mr. Miklos what the flat tax can do for Romania. You got it right at that time. And from this, you still today benefiting so much. And when you look back, the last 10 years rather lost then in terms of reform. And again, the start of this new government is exactly like that. You know, delay, delay, delay. And that's a very disappointing conclusion, and I hope that will be some wake-up call for this beautiful European Romania, that you really change and live up to the expectations your friends have from you. Please, European Romania, reform faster, be more ambitious. It's not only the Romanians, it's all Europe which needs you in the Eurozone, and it needs you fast in the Eurozone. It's all Europe who depends on the success of a country like Romania, and it's your neighbors who are looking to you to get rich and successful and secure together. But for this, you need to work a bit harder and to be a bit more ambitious and to be more self-confident to impose your competitive vision of a Europe free and whole, but also prosperous and secure on everybody else. Thanks for listening.